until Shabbos gets a little earlier, we'll be obviously a little bit of a shorter share. I don't want to keep you up so late that you miss davening tomorrow or something. Yeah, we're looking at a pasuk, very, very amazing. We're in the middle of Perek Yates. And the pasuk we're looking at, it's pasuk Yadalit. And you'll see in a moment that this is a very, very fascinating commentary of the Vilna Gaon, because he brings in so many other psukim. I mean, not on this pasuk so much, but he brings in many, many other psukim, and he explains a lot of Gemaras al derech nister, almost al derech hasod. And most of the time, you know, I myself don't fully understand it, but this I try to go through a little bit, so we could perhaps see what he says. The pasuk says, "Bayis v'hon, a house and wealth in a house, nachlas avos, these are things you inherit from your forefathers." Right? I can get a house from my father, I can get wealth from my father, but there's one thing that mom and dad cannot give me, and that's a good shidduch. Umei Hashem, isha maskelas, a woman of seichel. Now seichel, again, is an important word in Mishlei. We translate seichel as common sense, but it's more than that. Seichel refers to a refinement of character. Remember that throughout the book of Mishlei, the attribute of wisdom or seichel is not referring to IQ or even knowledge, but it refers to having a sense of what is the right and wrong way to live your life. So an isha meskeles is a woman that has the seichel of knowing what is right, what is wrong, a certain refinement, a tznius, a character, a midah, and the like. And he says that's a gift from Hashem, because no matter how wealthy your folks are, they will not be able to buy you an isha. Maybe they can buy you a wife, but or a wife can buy a husband. But the type of husband or wife that you buy will tend not to be, as anyone that kind of does something for money tends not to be such a great person. So whether a person is zocha to an isha maskeles, that is not a function of what their fathers can do for them. It only comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a gift from Hashem. And we know that Shlomo HaMelech, throughout the book of Mishlei, and maybe it comes out of his own experience having so many wives in which he had a lot of tzoras, that he does talk about the bracha of the good wife, that's Eishes Chayil. And he talks about the bitterness of the bad wife. In fact, there's a famous word of the Gra that doesn't come out tonight. Do you remember the Gemara in Brachos, in the first parak of Brachos? It says that when somebody got married, so my Rava in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they used to ask him at the Chasna, "Did you get a motza or a matzah?" Remember that Gemara? And what does this refer to? Because there are two psukim. One pasuk, and they're both in Mishnah. One pasuk is matzah isha matzah tov. You find a good wife, you found good in your life. That's matzah. Motza is another pasuk. Motza ni mar mi maves esa isha hara. I find more bitter than death a woman who creates quarrels. So they would ask him ahead of time, "Are you getting a matzah, which is the good wife, or are you getting the motza?" So people ask the kasha. I mean, you're asking the guy at his wedding? I mean, at his wedding, of course he's going to think he has a good wife. I mean, otherwise he wouldn't be getting married. Why are you asking him a question now? Did you get a good wife or a bad wife? And fakert, you see, bedavka, that there's a mitzvah to be mesameach chasim v'kala. What do we say? Kesed meraktim. It's a Mishnah Ksuvos. It's a song, but it's from the Mishnah Ksuvos. How do we dance in front of the kala? So Beis Shammai says, you got to be honest. If she's not beautiful, don't say how beautiful she is. But Beis Hillel says, no matter what she is, we say, kala noah, she is pleasant, but chasuda and righteous. And the Gemara says, once somebody goes through with the deal, you're not supposed to make them feel bad about it, you're supposed to make them feel good about it. So fakir, so we ask a guy at his chasna, did you get a matzah or a motza? So the pshat is, the Bali Musra say like this, the Bali Musra are not really asking the guy to describe his wife, but they're basically telling him that whether you will have a matzah or a motza depends on you. That if you treat, if you fulfill the words of Chazal, Oava kegufa, you love her like you love yourself, and you honor her more than yourself, you will get a matzah. And if you treat her with a lack of respect, you will get a motza, meaning where it's not a question, it's really telling the person, you have the choice to make it this way or that way. Be careful that you exercise your choice in the right way, because you choose what type of marriage you have. It's very important to say, you choose it. Because in so many ways, the way your wife will be towards you is the way you will be towards her. And vice versa as well. You know, I remember, Rav Shalom Arush, you must have heard of him. He's a Breslover Rav, and he writes all these books. They're very famous. They don't always have Or Sameach Saskama, but a lot of guys have these books. He writes The Garden of Faith, The Garden of... everything is the garden of something. So he writes books on Shalom Bayis, on Emunah. It's a Breslov Shita. So he writes a book on Shalom Bayis, written for men, and he says, only men should read this, not women. Okay. Then he wrote another book of Shalom Bayis for women, and he says, only women should read it, not men. Okay. So I see the man's book around. I never saw the ones. So when I was in New York for a Sameach, a year ago, so I was in somebody's house, and they gave me a little guest apartment, and I saw both books on the shelf. Wow. I could do a comparative study. I could look at the man's book, and I could look at the woman's book, and each book says the other one shouldn't read it, but I thought, I could look at both of them, that way I would know what they say. So I opened up the man's book, and the man's book says, the responsibility for Shalom Bayis is 100% on the man. No matter what your wife does to you, you have to be a mensch, you have to have derech eretz, you have to not lose your temper. The responsibility is 100% on you. Don't expect anything from the other person. You have the eretz. Okay. So then I picked up the woman's book. And it says the same thing to the woman. The responsibility of Shalom Bayis. And each one says, don't read the other one. Because the reason is, because if the man reads the woman's book, he's going to say, oh, she has all the responsibility. And if the man reads the woman's book, oh, she has all the responsibility. So each one reads the book, and they say, I have the responsibility, not the other person. Right? It's the same message on both sides. That's the sum. Don't tell anybody I saw, but this is the message of both books. But that's emes. The emes is that the person has to take achrayus, and that's really the deep meaning of matzah or motzah. Now, the Gra himself makes another point, and that is, you'll notice, matzah, with the commas, matzah is a lashon avar, past. Motzah is a lashon hoveh, present. So why is the pasuk about the good wife past? You found somebody in the past. And the bad wife is Motza, I find it always. So the Gra says, as a side point, that this is the nature of human fickleness. That when people do good things for us, we always ask, well, what did you do for me lately? It's always in the past. Tova is always something that was done yesterday. Oh, you were very nice to me yesterday, but that's not now. When it comes to bad, if somebody did something bad to me, it's like, I feel it right now. So he says, everything bitter is like a present thing. Things that are in the past are, things that are good, rather, we always put in the past. And really, it should be the opposite. Okay. Now, the Gra says like this. The Gra says, allegorically, because everything is a mashal and a nimshal, that bayis, which means a home, is a remez to Torah and mitzvah, is a remez, rather, to mitzvos. Mitzvos asay and mitzvos loisas. Because that is the bayis, that is the home that I create in this world. It's built by the bricks of the mitzvos that I do. So bayis are mitzvos asay and mitzvos loisas. Home, the wealth, that is the Torah that you learn in this world. Right? As we always say, Torah is compared to many things. The Torah is also compared to gold and silver and jewels, etc. So the bayis are the mitzvos, asay and losase, and the home is Torah. And what do we mean is the inheritance we get from our forefathers? Because our forefathers can actually be Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We are told that Avraham represents, okay, here I have to have a little bit of Kabbalah. We talk about there being 10 spheros. Now, what do we mean by 10 spheros? 10 channels through which divine energy gets manifested into the world. They go through different channels. And Rav Moshe Cordovero makes the very important point that Chas V'Shalom, this doesn't mean that God is divisible. God is certainly not divisible. But the analogy he gives is if you pour clear water through colored glasses. So in the blue glass, the water looks blue. In the red glass, the water looks red. It's all the same water, but we perceive it as different. So these spheros are different ways we perceive divinity. But here is the thing to know. The 10 spheros are actually divided into two groups. The upper three spheros are called muchin. Muchin are brains. They're kind of describing, on some level, God's thought processes. The last seven are midos, are the actual character manifestations. So chesed, gevura, these are the last seven. That's called chagat. Now, what are the first chagatas? Chesed, gevura, tiferes, etc. Now, what are the first three, which are muchin, right? Muchin. So here, it's characterized in different ways. Sometimes it's called chachma, bina, das. And sometimes it's called keser, chachma, bina. Those who go chachma, bina, das, they say keser is above even the spheros. It refers to the hidden manifestation of God. So the Vilna Gaon here is going with chachma, bina, das. It's very interesting, by the way. No, the official name of Lubavitch is Chabad. Chabad, and the Alter Rebbe, the Baruch Tanya, started a Chassidus that he called based on Chabad, Chachma Bin Adas, because he said that other branches of Chassidus were more based on emotion, which is Chesed Gevurah Tiferes. It's called Chassidus of Chagat, and he wanted a Chassidus that was based on more philosophy, more thinking. The Alter Rebbe was very, very suspicious of emotionalism. He thought emotionalism can actually be your animal soul. Again, it's interesting that if you simply get a high, even if it looks like a spiritual high because of Karl Bach Minyan or because of a dancing, although it's a spiritual thing, it's a good thing, but that's a spiritual activity that is not really penetrating your godly soul. It's really involving your animal soul in a celebration. And that's a good thing because you're elevating your animal soul, but it's not really a permanent strong connection to God. The permanent strong connection to God has to be through the mind and through the intellect. And then the Alter Rebbe felt, his shita was, that by connection to mind and intellect, you will awaken the deep ava and yira that is within your godly self, as opposed to the kind of the external ava and yira that might be in the animal self. And that's why the Hasidus was called Chabad. And the emes is, Chabad was the only Hasidus in Lita. It's a Lichbisha Hasidus. It's very, very interesting. You know, Lita was the home of the Misnagdim, the home of the Vilna Gaon, the home of the non-Hasidish yeshivas. Hasidus flourished mainly in Poland, in the Ukraine, a little bit in Hungary, but not in Lithuania. But the only Hasidus that was a Lichbisha Hasidus is Chabad. And putting aside Chabad today with Mashiach, but putting that aside, if you go back historically, Chabad was the closest to Misnagdim that Hasidus could be, because there was a tremendous emphasis on intellectualism, on Torah learning, on philosophy. Now again, in the course of the years, whatever it is, things may have changed somewhat. But even today, at least officially, a Chabad, if you're a real Chabad person, has, you know, these hundreds of volumes that they have to learn of the Rebbe's talks, which are somewhat intricate, and the like. So it's very intricate. So it's interesting that although the Vilna Gaon puts Chabad's Hasidus into Cherem, but he's using the same classification. And we talk about, therefore, Chachma and Bina. Chachma is described, now again, we're describing God by looking at the way human beings think, understanding that we don't really understand how Hashem thinks. But a human being, chokhmah, is the initial thought that emerges from your subconscious. Let's say, for example, whatever you want to do, want to build a table. So you have the thought to build a table. That's the chokhmah, that's the flash, that's the initial thought. And then the bina is the development of the thought. You think about, how will I build it, what do I need to do, etc. And then, when you finally have a concrete plan, that's called Das. So Das is said to be the unification of Chachma and Bina. Now, with Hashem, everything happens instantaneously, but Chachma is the initial flash, Bina is the development, and Das is the beginning to carry it out and bringing it to the level of midos, chesed, gevurah, manifestation. Seen in this way, chachma is described as a male attribute, by analogy to the drop of sperm. Right, that's that one little drop. Bina is feminine because bina develops, right? It takes the sperm and the egg and it develops it. So chachma is described as the zohar. Bina is described as the nekeva. And das is the unification of chachma and bina that produces das. Just as you find the word das is always used for the chibur of Adam and Chava. When Adam and Chava, right, biblical intimacy is described as das. Okay? So that is why al pi Kabbalah, the intimate union of husband and wife is said to be a very, very holy and sacred event, because it mimics what happens on earth is what is happening in heaven, and therefore the chibur of ish v'isha is the unification of chachma and bina, which produces das, and that in turn causes the shefa, the influence of the spheros, to come down. So seen in this way, we say the following. Chachma is seen as chesed as well, meaning it doesn't become chesed till later, but chachma, which is the giving, the masculine element, which is the giving, is keneged amida of chesed. Bina, which is the receiving of the female, is the notion of gevura, because it takes the chesed and it contains it. It contains it within a structure. So based on this idea, there's so many associations here, Avram Avinu, who represents serving God through chesed, is connected to chachma. Yitzchak, who serves God through inner strength and discipline, represents gevura, which is bina. And Yaakov, who comes from the Avram and Yitzchak, represents the idea of das. Right? Yaakov is das. Now, that's in the muchim. In the midos, Avram is chesed, Yitzchak is gevura, Yaakov is teferes. Right? That's once they become manifest. But in the mochin, it's chachma. In the mind, it's chachma, bina, and das. So based on this, we go further, therefore. If bias refers to mitzvos that you do, the mitzvos are divided into two categories, mitzvos aseh and mitzvos lo aseh. Mitzvos aseh express love of God, and love of God is an attribute of chesed. I feel God's chesed to me, so I love God. So the mitzvos aseh come to the world in the merit of Avraham. The lo sasa, which represents fear of God, right? Yiras Hashem, they come in the world through the power of Yitzchak that represents gevura and is the feminine. That is why we actually say lo sasas are feminine spiritually, ases are masculine. Ases come from chachma, lo sasas come from gevura. Ases come in the merit of Avraham, lo sasas come in the merit of Yitzchak. Now this idea, I apologize, it's a bit of a heavy intricate symbolism, but I hope that's making some sense at this point. We're only touching the surface here, even with this, but still it's a little maybe deeper than usual. Now here is the thing. Ramban points out, you know, we have a klal in halacha that when you have a conflict between two commandments, I have a positive commandment and I have a negative commandment. Thou shalt do something and thou shalt not do something. And the only way I can do the positive commandment is if I transgress the negative. And the only way I could fulfill the negative is by not doing the positive. So what do I do? Right? Either way, I'm gonna mess something up. So the halacha is clear that when there is an irreconcilable conflict between a positive commandment and a negative commandment, the positive commandment overrides, it supersedes the negative commandment. The most common example we have of this is a bris on Shabbos. If a baby is born on Shabbos, a boy is born on Shabbos, so the eighth day is next Shabbos. Now doing a bris is a malacha, you're mechallel Shabbos, you're causing bleeding, you're not allowed to do that. And yet, the only way I could do the mitzvah of Bris Milah on the eighth day is to do it on Shabbos. The positive overrides the negative. Now, based on this, you can understand, I hope, why this is only true if Shabbos is the eighth day. Let's say the baby couldn't have his bris on the eighth day, and I have to do the bris on the tenth day. And the tenth day is Shabbos. There, I say, I cannot do that bris. I have to wait until Sunday. Why is that? Why don't I say, let the positive override the negative? Answer is like this. Once you're beyond the eighth day, there is no special mitzvah to do a bris today. There's a mitzvah to do a bris. So, I don't need to transgress Shabbos to fulfill this mitzvah, because doing it on the 11th day is just as good as the 10th day. So if I could do the mitzvah without doing the Aveira, I have to do that. But when it's on the 8th day, there's a special mitzvah of a bris on the 8th day. There's no way I could do that unless I desecrate Shabbos. That's why it's going to be mutter. Another example. In the days when we used to have techeilas, some people think we have techeilas, but when we knew for sure that we had techeilas, and techeilas is not only blue, but it has to be blue wool. Techeilas means blue wool. So the halacha is, if you had a linen talus, you were allowed to put woolen tzitzis on it, because you would have no way of doing the mitzvah of techeilas unless you make shabbos. So if you have no way of doing the mitzvah of techeilas on this beged unless I violate shabbos, the Torah says the positive commandments overrides the negative. But that's only true when I have techeilas. If I don't have techeilas, I don't need to put woolen tzitzis on a linen garment. I can fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis by putting linen tzitzis on a linen garment. Meaning, the need for violation is only when you have techeilas, because techeilas has to be wool. Now, today, as you know, some people have claimed that they've been able to identify techeilas. You know, it's a very good question. It is a good question. Why all of us are not more machmer in this way? Because here's the problem. Let's say people say, well, you haven't proven that it's techeilas. Okay, you're not 100%. So let's say it's only a 50% probability. Wouldn't it still be kedai to do the mitzvah if there's a 50% chance I'm doing the mitzvah? Because you see, if you're wearing fake techeilas, you're not doing a sin. Meaning, if I wear techeilas, so if it's real techeilas, I'm doing a great mitzvah. If it's not real techeilas, I simply have tzitzis that are painted with blue paint. Well, what if I get my, right, what if my pen leaks on my tzitzis? It's not a puzzle. So what is the downside? What is the chisora in wearing techeilas? It's a good caution. Now, some people say it would be a chisora if you would try to use Shabbos. That's 100% correct. Meaning
the chashash of
the rule would simply be, we should simply say, do not use this techeilas on a linen garment. I mean, that would be maspik. Most of our talis cartons or our talisim are not linen anyway. So this is really a good catch. I don't have a great answer to this, meaning to say, why shouldn't B'nai Torah, not only B'nai Torah, even our Gedolim, B'zerach Klal, have not called for this and this. I'm not sure if they do it privately or not. But L'chaira, the question is, even if there's a small chance that it might be Tcheles, so, misavik, do the mitzvah. All right, without getting into that answer, I just brought this in to just illustrate two examples of essay Doche Losasa. Now, Ramban says in Chumash, a very beautiful explanation, why does the positive mitzvah override the negative mitzvah? So he says, because positive mitzvahs express your love of Hashem. When I love somebody, I want to do positive things for them. A negative mitzvah is I'm scared of Hashem, meaning I better not, eat that treif thing, or chas v'shalom, I'll be punished. So one expresses Avas Hashem, and one expresses Yiras Hashem. And since Avas Hashem is a greater madrega than Yiras Hashem, the Aseh is Docha Delosas. Okay, so now we come back to this, therefore. When it says the bias comes from the Avos, the bias, once again, represents positive commandments and negative commandments. The positives, which are Chesed, Ava, come from Avraham Avinu, which is Chachma and Chesed. The negative, which is Yira, comes from Yitzchak, which is Gevurah. Right? So the bias comes from Avraham and Yitzchak together. And Yaakov is Das and Tiferes. Yaakov represents the Koach of Torah. In fact, this is a well-known idea. Pirkei Avos says that the world stands on three pillars: Torah, Avoda, that's Korbanos and prayer, and Gemilas Chesed, loving kindness. So all the Mefarshim say Avraham is the Amud of Chesed, Yitzchak is the Amud of prayer, because prayer is introspection and containment, and Yaakov represents Torah, the 14 years that he spent in Shem Be'Eber. So now the Pasuk is very, very beautiful. Bayis Fahom, the mitzvos, which are in the bayis, and the home, the wealth of Torah, that you got from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram and Yitzchak gave you the house, and Yaakov gave you the Torah. But Yaakov is called the Kayach of Torah, the Kayach of Torah. In fact, again, it's interesting that that is why, Avram has Chesed, but from pure Chesed you get a Yishmael. And Yitzchak has strength and discipline and conquering the Yetzer Hara, but from that you get an Esav. It is only Yaakov that has Torah who combined the extremities of Chesed and Gevurah into a beauty, which is called Tiferes, and from the Koyach of the Torah, all of his children are part of Klal Yisrael. Yeah, they had their problems, Mechiras Yosef, Edo, but they're all Nichnas into Klal Yisrael. That's the Koyach of Torah. So now the Pasuk says, Bayis Fahain we got from the Avos. So what is this new level of Isha Maskelas? So, again, the Fipshuto, it's a wife, but again, based on this allegorical interpretation, he explains the following. Isha is sometimes a metaphor for the deepest recesses of your soul. That Isha Shefas Torah, the beautiful woman, is said to be the godly soul that is within you. And this is Mami. Now, this Mami sounds like the Tanya. It's very fascinating. Phil McGurn would say something. That Mami sounds like the Tanya. He says, the Avos were the Shechus that gave us the ability to do Torah and Mitzvos. And when we do Torah and Mitzvos, we awaken within our godly soul depths of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem that we didn't even know that we possessed. That is the gift from Hashem. Again, the lesson here is that there are many, many Madregas of Kedusha that are not within our capacity to achieve at all. But if we do what we're able to do, Hashem gives us a gift of opening up within us powers and avenues and devekas that we didn't even know we had. And that is the Isha Maskelas, that is the depths within the godly soul of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, as long as a person does what he's able to do. You understand this idea that we have external things that we do, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift. The Mesilas Yesharim, of whom the Gra was a great admirer, the Gra, the Ramchal was Nifter, their lives must have overlapped, but by the time the Gra was in his 20s, the Ramchal was Nifter. So the Gra didn't have a chance to meet the Ramchal, but the Gra said himself, the Gra didn't like to travel that much, the Gra said that if the Ramchal would be alive, the Gra said he would walk to Amsterdam to be able to learn from the Ramchal. That's how much the Gra held. And the Gra said, he was a big, he learned the Mesilas Yesharim many times, he said, that there is not an extra word in the Mesilas Yesharim until the 12th chapter. So this has been a recurring puzzle. People ponder this. What is that extra word that the Graf found? And, you know, I have to go back. I don't remember it, but somebody said that the Graf had a shita that a certain statement in the 12th perek was superfluous, but according to the Ramchal, it actually wasn't superfluous, but the Graf had a different shita. But he said, until the 12th, until perek in days, there was not a single extra word in the Mesilas Yesharim and the like. But the Mesilas Yesharim says the same thing. You know, the highest madrega. You know, it's interesting. Mesilas Yesharim is based on madregas. It's based on a brisa of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair that gives you a ladder of spiritual levels, right? You've seen Mesilas Yesharim. In fact, the lowest level kind of says, I keep the whole Torah. That's why some people, how can I learn Mesilas Yesharim? The lowest level says, keep all the Torah, keep all the mitzvahs. And then we work from there. Okay. But that's Sahiris. Sahiris means I keep everything. Okay. But then you move and you get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. The highest level is the level that's called Kedusha. Kedusha is the highest level. And he makes the point that when you reach a level of Kedusha, your eating and drinking is like a korban to Hashem. Because everything you take in is just to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it is as holy as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. But the phrase that he uses is exactly what the guy is saying here. It's techiloso avoda v'sofo matana. It begins by work and effort, but then it is a gift that Hashem gives you. It's something that you really couldn't have achieved. It's beyond you. But a person does whatever he can. That's the nachlas avos. Hashem gives you the isha maskelas, the reservoirs of holiness that are within you. That's very important. Techiloso avoda. The Seifei Matana. They tell a homie mashal about this. It must be a modern mashal because it's about an elevator, but they talk about a king who built a tower that was 1,000 stories high. And he told whoever can climb to the top of the tower by the end of the day gets to marry my daughter and becomes the king, becomes the prince, who will become the king eventually. So most people didn't even bother. They go, oh, well, I can climb 1,000 stories, it's not shaykh. One person says, I'm going to do what I can do. So he goes 5, 10, 15, 20, 20 stories already. He's out of breath. And people are laughing at him. They're mocking him. 20 stories, just 980 left. It's impossible. What's the seichel? What's the sense? What's the use? So he'll do another 10, another 20, another 30. There's hundreds and hundreds of stories. So he goes 25, 30, 35, 40. Out of breath, you know. He reaches the 50th level. He collapses at the landing. And the 50th level becomes an express elevator that goes all the way to the top. At the 50th story. Now, if he wouldn't... Now, Lamaisa, his koach was spent at the 50th level. He could not go another inch. And that was nothing. That did not even bring him near the goal. But because he did everything he was able to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take over. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes over only when you do what you're able to do. So the people who didn't bother starting, or the people who gave up after 5 stories or 10 stories, they're not going to get to the top. They're not going to get to that Yeshua because they didn't do what they're able to do. Right, so that's the meaning of the pasuk. Bayis v'hai nachlas avos. The mitzvos and the Torah we got from our forefathers, and we know what we have to do with them. But the ultimate devekus b'Hashem, which is the Isha Maskelis, that's the metaphor of the godly soul, feeling a connection to God, that is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's a gift that comes only after your Avaida. And this is what the Kutzker Rebbe says on the phrase, the very famous Gemara everybody knows. If a person says, Yagati, I worked, I toiled in Torah, below Masasi, but I didn't find anything, I didn't succeed, you don't believe them. If he says, Yagati Umatsasi, I worked and I toiled and Hashem gave me Hatzlacha, you believe him. So most of us learn, and this is the Pashat Pshat, that if a person says, I worked and I was a failure, but some say differently, the Kutzker Rebbe says differently, if a person says, I worked and I didn't find, meaning my success is because of my work as opposed to something I find, you don't believe him. Yagati, I worked, but then I found it, meaning it wasn't because of my work. It was a gift beyond my capacity. And that's the amazing thing. That's the idea of Sefer Matana. The Gra gives an example, right? The Gra talks about, in fact, this happened with the Gra, that every night the Neshama goes up to Shemayim. And the Malachim want to teach at least something like the Gra, the greatest secrets of the Torah. And he didn't want it. He only wanted it from his work. But he said that this is the reward Hashem might give a person for all of their Yigiyah. And that is why, because it's not a direct cause and effect, that is why sometimes you could be working in one area. For example, you're Miyageya and Bava Kama, and you will find that some medrash becomes clear to you. Now, it's not because you were working on that medrash, right? You weren't working on that medrash, but it's Hashem's reward. Hashem gives you something because of it. So that's the idea of bayis v'hayin nachalas avos. So here, the editor, the mechaber of the Perish HaGra, which is not the Gra himself, right? The Talmud who wrote this from the Shiurim of the Vilna Gaon was Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov, and he sometimes puts his own notes here. So he has a long excerpt from a Perish of the Gra, Al Derech HaNister, a Kabbalistic Perish in Maseches Brachos, on a Pasuk, which is also in Mishnah, but it's interesting. The Gra in the Pasuk on that Pasuk doesn't say anything, but it's put here. So sometimes you have to look at a different Pasuk. This is a very famous Pasuk. The Rambam, in fact, calls this one of the most important teachings of Judaism, and that is, V'chol Jiracheha Da'eyu. You must know Hashem in all of your ways. For who? Yiyasher Orchosecha. And he will straighten out your paths. He will show you the straight way instead of ways that are crooked or twisted. Now, why is that pasuk so important, Mufi Pshuta? Because the Rambam explains that knowing Hashem in all of your ways means a person has to have a sense of being connected to the Ribono Shel Olam, not only when you're learning, not only when you're davening, but even when you're eating, drinking, sleeping, playing basketball, jogging, going to an art museum. You know, I'm not opining on any psak halachas, what's mutter and what's aser. But what is the point here? Because the Rambam writes that even when a person relaxes, if he is doing so with the kavana, that I want to be stronger and healthier, to be able to serve Hashem, then even the recreation can become avodas Hashem when you have the right kavana. That is the meaning. Know Hashem in all of the ways that you live, not only in what you might call the from ways, the religious ways. A person's in the business world, so there's so many hours a day, a person might not be learning. So on one hand, we do have one perspective, and that is, even when you're not learning, your mind is yearning to get back to Torah. It's a beautiful thesis that says, that uses this as the basis of a halacha. The question becomes like this. I make Birchas HaTorah in the morning. Right, so if I'm in yeshiva, so I'm basically learning the whole day, so I don't have to make a new bracha. But I make Birchas HaTorah in the morning, I daven Shacharis, then I go to work, and I'm not going to learn again till 6 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night. B'charit's a hefsek. Such an interruption. It's hesach hadas. So when I get back to learning, I should have to make a new Birchas HaTorah. And yet, halacha is very clear that even if you go to work, you do not make a Birchas HaTorah. The bracha of the morning covers you. Sleeping is a machlokas. But the Emes says, we're noye, even if you sleep, if it's during the day, you do not make Birchas HaTorah, only at night. Rabbi Kiveh, was machadesh for Shavuos, if you slept in the day and then you stayed up all night, you make a Birchas HaTorah in the morning. But if you simply sleep in the day, our minhag is not to make Birchas HaTorah. Why isn't it a hefsek? So Tosfos says in Maseches Brachos, because the way a Jewish mind should work, now not that it does work this way, but the halacha is based on an ideal. This is an interesting point. Halacha is sometimes not based on actual reality. It is not based on the way we are. It is based on the way we should be. That's an important point. And Taisa says, a Yid is always connected to Torah, even when he's not actually learning, because in his heart, he always wants to get back to it as soon as he could. And al pi halacha, that is why there's no hesach hadas, and that is why you don't have to make a new birchas of Torah. So that's one element of it, that even when I'm not learning, I'm connected to Torah. And the other element is, the Rambam says, if my kavana is to be machazek my body, or to, in case of a job, to earn money, to give tzedaka, to do mitzvahs with, to support my family, which is the obligation of a kesuba, he says, that's avodas Hashem also. Even the idea that when I do business, I'm trying to make a kiddush Hashem in the honesty of my business. That is, or the way I treat people. That's avodas Hashem. And the Rambam calls this a klal gadol, a very, very important klal. The important klal of b'chol derechecha da'eyu. Okay, so this is what the Rambam says. And therefore a person should know. In fact, the Rambam writes in the Shemayna Pragim, which is his introduction to Pirkei Avos. The introduction is bigger than Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos is only 6 prekim. This is the eighth pre-perek introduction to Pirkei Avos. The Rambam writes about human beings need rest, they need relaxation. He talks about beauty. Beauty calms you. You look at beautiful trees and beautiful flowers. But all of this is avodas Hashem, because by calming you, your mind is more open to ruchnius. Because when you're agitated and nervous, you know you don't. What do they say? They say, and this includes physical activity as well. They say, you've heard of Rav Dov Schwartzman, Zichrono Livracha, great, great gadol. He was actually technically, he was Roshiva Bor Sameach for a while, but he was never, I mean, he was never involved in administering Bor Sameach, but he gave the highest shir. But he really was one of the Gedolei Ador. I mean, he had his own yeshiva, but he would come here also to give a shir. I have to admit, most of us could not understand him, but he was really a tremendous, tremendous gadol. But they say that when he was young, he would, he would be up like 24 hours in a learning. Then he would go for a nice 50-mile bike ride, and then a 20-mile hike. You know, he does like 2 days. He would just like push himself, and then he would just get back and go back to the same thing. So, he needed to. He had all this pent-up energy that had to be released, and he would do that, and then he would go back, and he could learn for another 6 months like that. Okay, now the Gra takes this phrase and has an amazing Kabbalistic interpretation. B'chol derechecha, in all of your ways, da'ehu, know him. Now, how do you spell da'ehu? Dalet ayin hey vav. Da'ehu. Now, he breaks it up in 2 ways. Da, know God. Hey vav. Now, hey vav, b'zerech rosh, hey is the chamisha chumshei sarah. And the Vav is the 6 orders of the Mishnah. So it's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. If you want to know God, how do you know God? By being mechaber yourself to the Hey and the Vav. The Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Torah Shebichsav, and the Torah Shebal Peh. But he also says that since Da is a Lashon of Chibur, of unification, so it refers to learning Torah, l'shem Hashem, to give Hashem nachas. So da'eyu is, if you connect yourself to the hey and the vav, Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh, and you connect yourself with das, which is intimate union, you do it with love, and you do it l'shma, then God will straighten out your path to discover the greatness that is within yourself. Now, this is what we say. B'chal d'racheha da'ehu v'hu, who means and he, that God. So who is this way. Hey, the same hey and vav, but there's an aleph at the end. The aleph refers to God that was hidden. So, you pursue the hey and the vav. then Hashem will come in and add himself to the Torah that you're learning and give you the direction that you need. Right? That's the who. Who is the hidden Aleph that is will be connected to the Hey and the Vav. V'chol d'racha da'ehu, and v'hu, the Aleph of Hashem, will be mechaber to the Hey and the Vav, and will give you the ability. That's exactly what this pasuk is saying, that is the Isha Maskel. Again, it's a bit intricate. He also points out another thing, that what is the gematria of da'ehu? The gematria of da'ehu, Dalet Ayin is 74, and He is 79, and Vav is 6. The gematria is 85, right? 85? And 85 means that the way you connect to God is by observing two covenants with Hashem, both of which have the gematria of 85. One, there are two things that are called bris. One is called bris milah, the covenant of bris milah. The gematria of milah, right? Milah, mem yud is 50, lamed is 30, that's 80, and hey is 5. And the other thing that's called bris is Torah itself. Hashem says, im lo berisi yomam belayla, without the covenant of learning Torah day and night, chukos shamayim ba'aretz losamti, I would not create heaven and earth. So Torah is called a bris. And Torah is done with the peh, the mouth. So mila is 85, and peh is 85. And they are the two brisais that connect us to God, the bris mila and the bris of Torah. And that's also b'chol d'rachaha no Hashem do'eyu v'gematria 85, keeping the bris mila, which, by the way, you may ask a question, well, what does it mean keep a bris mila? I had a bris when I was 8 days old. In what way am I keeping the bris mila? So you understand that, particularly in Sifrei Kabbalah, the notion of shemiras habris is not limited to the physical action of having a bris. We had that already. But it refers to a sexual morality, not wasting seed, not being mishal, these types of taivas and the like. That's called shmiras habris. So that's too how you get connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the shmira of the bris hapeh, which is Torah, and the shmira of the bris mila, which is shmiras habris, shmiras einayim, those types of inyanim, that, right? So you see there's a lot of things going on here. They're all interrelated. Da'ehu is know Hashem with the hey and the vav, the Torah Shabbal Pet, Chamisha Chumzei Torah, and the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. And Da'ehu means in an intimate way, doing it out of love. And Da'ehu is Begematria 85, which corresponds to the bris of Mila, and to the bris of Peh, which is Torah. And the bottom line is, you do what you can, and then Hashem will show you Hadracha in ways that you never thought was possible. So the Torah and the mitzvahs we get in the merit of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Nachlas Avos, but Hashem will then give us the gift, as the Mesillas Yesharim says, it is Seifai, Tchilasai Avaida, V'Seifai Matana. Okay? So this is only a small, there's actually more stuff here as well. He brings, for example, I mean, these things are not explained that much. You have to try to figure it out. He brings a Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra is discussing the proper places, proper directions to daven. What direction should you daven? All of us know the halacha is that you always daven. Thank you. You always daven in the direction of Yerushalayim. And if you're in Yerushalayim, it's the direction of the Harabbas. Ultimately, we try to direct ourselves to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, wherever direction that is. Now, the Gemara says, however, that if you want to daven for wealth, material prosperity, you should daven towards the north. Now, that doesn't mean due north. That means you're facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but you turn a little bit to the north. If you want to daven for Torah wisdom, you should daven to the south. Haraisa lahachkin yadrim, haraisa lahasher yaspin. And the raya that it gives for this is the positioning of two things in the Beis HaMikdash. Right, you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you're always walking in, the Mishkan as well, east to west. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is west. So, to your left would be the south. You might think about it. When you're walking west, to the left is south. So to the left would be the menorah. The menorah was on the southern wall. And the menorah represents the light of Torah. And to your right, which is to the north, is the shulchan of the Lechem HaPanim that represents Parnassa and Ashiras. So just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the north was the bracha for Parnassa, and the south was the bracha of Torah. So in our tefillah, it's the same thing. Menorah b'darom, and Lechem HaPanim b'tzafon, and that is why south is the direction for Torah knowledge, Torah wisdom, and north is the direction for Parnassa. Right, this is the Gemara in Bava Basra. So the Vilna Gaon has a bit of a deeper meaning here. What does it mean, Haraitza Lahachkim Yadrim? So here he says, in Kabbalah, south is the direction of Chesed. Why is south the direction of Chesed? And north is the direction of Gevura. Why should that be so? Because north is where the sun is below the horizon, meaning in the northern hemisphere, where Eretz Yisrael is located, you never see the sun in the north part of the sky. The reason is because it's that's where it travels at night, or the earth, no. Because the sun rises in the east, and it goes east, south, west, and it sets before it's to the north. And then it goes, again, I'm describing the sun as traveling, but it's just a question of the earth rotating. The sun is below the horizon on the north side of the earth, meaning you will never see this. So when somebody tries to sell you an apartment and promises you a beautiful northern exposure, as they sometimes do, that means you will never see the sun at all. Maybe you want that, you know, it depends, but just know that's what you're getting. You're not going to see the sun at all in the northern exposure. So since Gevura means God is withdrawing his, or concealing his kindness, so in fact the word Safon means that. Safon is the same word as Safun. It's vocalized a little differently. Hidden, concealed. That is why the north is called Safon, because the sun is concealed. Okay? Now, by contrast, in the south, that is when the sun is at its highest and most powerful. It rises from the east, but towards high noon, it is in the southern part of the sky. So if we look at Chesed as God giving, the maximum giving is Darayim. So Darayim is the midah of Chesed, and Safayim is the midah of Gevura. Now the only question I have in this is the following. The Kabbalistic symbols seem to be a little conflicting here, because normally we say the right represents Chesed and the left represents Gevura. But here, the southern direction is on the left, and the northern direction is on the right. But the short answer is, the northern direction is on the right and the southern is to the left. But the short answer is, that's looking at it from me walking towards the Shekhinah. But from Hashem facing me from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the south is on the right and the north is on the left. You see that? In other words, from Hashem, look, right, Hashem. I'm walking to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so I'm walking towards Hashem. Hashem Kaviyachal is looking at me. When Hashem is looking at me, the south is to the right. of Hashem, and the north is to the left. Right? You understand that? So that's why I could try to say that the right is Chesed, and the left is Gevurah. Now, it is fascinating that, well, why should I call the left Gevurah? I mean, the left is also a bracha. The left is the bracha of Gashmius. It's not without a bracha. The answer is, that's not the real bracha. The real bracha in life, the true chesed that Hashem gives, is the light of Torah. The Gashmius is a chesed, but it's a chesed that's really Gevurah. It's not really the best thing. Yeah.
It just seems a little funny to me that both the book of Parnassa and Torah in the same place.
I mean, they're both in the Beis HaMikdash, you mean?
Right.
Well, yeah. Well, ideally, you know, ideally the idea would be that if I make a parnasa in order to learn Torah, so such a parnasa does have an elevated status. We're not just talking about you just want to make a lot of money. I mean, ultimately it would also be for tzedakah and for other reasons. So here is what, alright, so based on this idea, what does it mean if I want to be wise, I turn to the south? So number one, it means if you want to be wise, you need the chesed of Hashem. Because no person could do it on his own. So you need Hashem's chesed to pray for Hashem's chesed. But there's another way in which it's connected to chesed. It says in Eish Hischayel, and remember Eish Hischayel is describing the Torah? Remember the Gra learned that? Piha pascha b'chochma. Her mouth opens up in wisdom. V'toras chesed al l'shayna. And the Torah of kindness is on her mouth, or in her mouth. So the Gemara in Sukkah asks, what do you mean the Torah of kindness? What is the Torah of kindness? So the Gemara says in Sukkah, this is an amazing statement, the Torah of kindness is the kindness you do to Hashem when you learn Torah l'shem shamayim and not for your own kavod. So Torah's chesed is mischased im kainai. You're doing chesed with the Creator by learning lishma. So what do you see from the pasuk? When are you zeicha to the chachma of Torah? Pia pascha b'chachma. When you learn Torah lishma, which is a chesed that you're doing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Gemara calls it. The Gemara says Torah's chesed is your mischasei with the Bore. So Memele, the Vilna Gaon says, now we understand beautifully. You want to become a chacham, go to the south. Meaning you want to become a chacham, do chesed, i.e. the chesed of learning lishma, which is called the chesed you're doing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haraisa lahachkim yadrim. You see, you wouldn't figure that out from that statement, but that's what he's saying. Haraisa lahachkim yadrim, because it becomes a Torah's chesed. Right, and that's how you're there. Okay, so these are just a little bit of many more things that are said here as well. But just on this one pasuk, he goes through all of these different ideas. He goes further as well. Connects it even to the fact that, you know, Avram was Mesakein Shachris, and Yitzchak was Mesakein Mariv, Yitzchak was Mesakein Mincha, and Yaakov was Mesakein Mariv. So he points out that Mariv is darkness. Mariv represents concealment. Mariv represents godliness that I cannot see and I cannot reach. In the daytime I see things, at night I don't see it. But the remez here is that Yaakov basically said that through a dveikus in Torah, you will be connected to madregas in godliness that are totally beyond your ability to even see. That's connected there, that Hashem will give you kochos that you didn't even know that you would have. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here. I just want to do this pasuk, and Mr. Hashem will see you next week.